Please open your Bibles tonight to the book of Ruth. For those of you, Mr. Leader, that's Matthew, Mark, Ruth. Got it? Okay. No, it's Luke, I think. But anyway. Ruth, right after Judges, written during the time, or describing the time of Judges, seemingly written probably in David's day. And not sure who the author is, but God put it in the Bible, so we don't worry about that, do we? Amen? Sometimes God chooses to tell us, and sometimes he doesn't. But don't you want a little good news once in a while? You know, I think we as Christians, sadly, we see bad things, and we don't realize God's in those too. And at the end of the story, the ending for a Christian is a happy ending. The Lord will wipe away the tears from the eyes, and there will be joy for all eternity. And I think we ought to have more happy stories. And the book of Ruth is a happy story. A happy ending. A good situation. Amazing situation. I'll show you why here in just a minute. We know it's during the time of the judges because it says right there in the first couple of verses, if you look in Ruth chapter 1, it says, "It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." Now, we tend to think that it's probably earlier in that time period because Boaz, the hero in the story, was, and can you believe this? He was descended from Rahab the harlot. Wow. He is half Canaanite. He was his mother. You remember the story. The spies were sent, and she protected them and sent them out another way. Not the first spies, but the ones right before they attacked Jericho. And so then during Joshua's day, Rahab traveled around. We just know she had to. She went with the Jews. And somewhere along the way, she got married. And she had a son. And either her son or maybe her grandson, depending on how you read, at any rate, was Boaz, the hero of the story. God can take a bad situation and make it into a good one. What about Ruth? We'll learn a lot about her in the next few weeks. She is a Moabitess. She's from Moab. Say, who are those folks, Pastor? They're descendants from Lot. Lot had two daughters. Lot's sons-in-law were killed when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. I hate to even tell this story, but it's in the Bible. His daughters wanted to preserve posterity, is the word that the Bible uses, and so they got him drunk, and each of them sequentially had an incestuous relationship with him, and they had children that became the enemies of Israel, and one of those peoples was Moab. And Ruth was a descendant from that. What a terrible situation. The time of the judges was a terrible time. We've read through that. We've already studied that already. Oh, by the way, I wanted to thank Aaron Wine for making an observation that I failed to make, which was a good one, and that is, why is it so important that the tribe of Benjamin be spared at the end of the book of Judges? Well, think about what person in the New Testament was from the tribe of Benjamin. Paul. Aren't you glad God spared Benjamin? Amen? So that Paul could preach to the Gentiles. Judges was a bad time. Lots of bad things here, but there can be a happy story in the middle of all this chaos and all this disaster. And you know what makes a story happy is when you do it God's way. You know what makes a life happy is when you do it God's way. When you obey God and when you listen to God's will. And what makes a life unhappy is when you don't do it God's way. And so Ruth was a different kind of young woman, and she did some things that allowed her to be, this is the best part of all, the great-grandmother of David, the king of Israel. What does that mean? That means she's the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-whatever grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Boaz, Rahab the harlot's son or grandson or whatever, he becomes part of the family that ultimately was in the line of Christ. God's got an interesting way to work, doesn't he? Now, you would have never figured that out. I wouldn't have either. If we'd have sat down and said, you know, let's write a really interesting story, I wouldn't have thought of that kind of thing. You know, they say truth is stranger than fiction. That's a misnomer. The way God works is greater than the best things we can come up with. The best fiction man can arrive at pales in comparison to the way God does things, just to demonstrate that he is in control. And if God can do all of that, can we trust him with our life? You say, Pastor, I see a lot of chaos in my life. Well, try to find some more chaos than you got going right here, and there can still be a happy ending. Amen? Amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read the first 18 verses of Ruth chapter 1, and we'll spend about 15 minutes here just looking at what made Ruth different and some more introduction as we go along. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other, Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them that they were grown? Till they were grown, would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. That's interesting. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy daughter-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that we can trust you regardless of the circumstances. We see in this story, and we already get excited about the way we know it's going to end, that what seemed to have begun with a disastrous situation with famine and death ends in a joyous victory when Boaz takes Ruth to be his wife, and they ultimately are the family that produced David, the king of Israel, and then the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that tonight we can trust you in times of trial, in times of turmoil. In our nation right now, it's no better than it was in the time of the judges, perhaps many times worse, and yet we know that you're still at work. Thank you that we can trust you with that. I pray you'd bless these next few moments. God, please give us something we can use in our hearts and our minds to serve you better this week. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If you could go back and sit down across the table from Naomi right here when she gets ready to go back to Israel, what would you say to her? You would not agree with her. She made a statement here. She said in verse 13, "The Lord has gone out against me." Is that true? Not at all. No, you'd say to her, if you couldn't tell her, "Naomi, I know some things that you don't know, and I can't tell you, but I just want you to know something. You're going to look back on these days, and you're going to say, I'm sorry I accused the Lord, because God's about to do something great. And when he does it, you won't believe how big it's going to be." And it was the last thing, the last thought in her mind was that she was going to have a part in being in the line of Christ. That she was going to have a part in such, truly, I guess you could say, that one of the greatest family in Israel. Because, you know, she's related by marriage, not by blood. She's related by marriage to King David. You would say to Ruth, to Naomi, you would say, listen, in days ahead, God's going to provide for you. And he does, doesn't he? God's going to answer prayers. God's going to guide you. You're going to see a situation here where Ruth is just in the right place at the right time, because God put her there to meet Boaz. And that then even later on, when time comes for him to marry her, that all is put together by the Lord. So Naomi, everything's okay. She would say to you, I don't know about all that, but I know this. My husband is dead. My sons are dead. I'm living in a foreign land. I have nothing. I have no way to provide for myself. And on top of that, at that point in time, I'm sure she assumed both of her daughter-in-laws were going to leave her. One of them did. One of them did not. Isn't that the way we are sometimes? We can look at the situation that just took place, and it just looks like bad, 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 bad. And we say, well, God's against me. I guess it's all over. Or you may not be that backslidden. You might just say, well, as bad as things are, I don't see them getting any better. Who's in control of good or bad? God, amen? And I just think we need to remember, even back in Joseph's day, like he told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Why did Ruth's husband have to die why did Naomi's husband have to die so that Ruth could be in the line of Christ? Why did Naomi's sons, Ruth's husband and Orpah's husband, have to die so that God's plan could be accomplished? And is in the case of a person that knows Christ in our day, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Is that so bad? Not too bad, amen? We've really continually have a reason to trust God and be at peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Say, Pastor, you just don't know what's been going on. Neither did Naomi, but she should have been at peace. Could have been at peace. Now, did she make some mistakes? Yes. Shouldn't have probably never gone to Moab. But again, God used her mistakes, didn't he? There's just so many exciting things that you see in this book. It's going to be a lot of fun going through this. She's the great-grandmother of King David. Her marriage to Boaz marks the beginning of the Messianic family. Boaz was the son of Rahab the harlot of Jericho. The Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, was the descendant of a Moabite woman who descended from Lot and a half-Canaanite man whose mother married into the tribe of Judah. Interesting fact, I don't know about today, but in the 1900s, there was a field. It's about a mile east of Bethlehem. Now, if you haven't ever been to Israel, Bethlehem is just, I don't know, Bethlehem is to Jerusalem what Litchfield Park is to Glendale. It's just right over there. It's farther. I think it's about 3.5 or 4 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. It's real close. And so today it's all built up and things have changed. But back in the 1900s, about a mile east of Bethlehem, which east going back away from the Mediterranean Sea, there was a field. and it was still used for agricultural purposes in those days. It was called the Field of Boaz. Look at an old Bible handbook, and you might see pictures of people reaping in that field today. Interesting, right next to that field, there is a field that's called the Shepherd's Field. This is all tradition. We don't have any maps in the Bible, but the tradition says that the Shepherd's Field, right outside Bethlehem, just about right next to the Field of Boaz, is where the shepherds were when the angels appeared and announced the birth of Christ. Maybe, but interesting, we know it happened near Bethlehem, don't we? 1,100 years after Ruth, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be born, and God had it all planned out. If he can do that, he can take care of our life, can't he? Shame on us for worrying. A couple of interesting names in this passage that you need to know. Of course, Elimelech is a man who is his name means God is his king. And Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, is of the tribe of Judah. That's pertinent because the Lord Jesus Christ came of the tribe of Judah. And Boaz also was of that tribe, related to Elimelech somehow through marriage, it seems like. Naomi's name means beauty or pleasant or delight. She's Elimelech's wife. She changes her name later to Mara, which means bitter, because she's bitter about what happened. That was unnecessary, but sadness in her family to lose her husband and her sons. And she just assumed that was the end of the story. Don't ever assume that you know the end of the story. It's not over yet. Amen? Say, Pastor, it hadn't been going good. I know. That's okay. Have you seen that before? Wasn't going good for Joseph. Turned out pretty good. Wasn't going good for Daniel. Turned out pretty good. Wasn't going good for a lot of people. Turned out pretty good. Don't think you know until you see the end of the story. Mahlon, one of her son's name means ill or sick. Chilion, the other one's name means failing or consumption. Enough said about that. Orpah, her name, Ruth's one daughter-in-law, means stiff-necked or obstinate. And she talked a good talk, but when it came time to go with Naomi, she said, no, I'm not going to do that. But Ruth's name means friendship. And again, a lot of the Bible names, the meaning of those words is because of the people that had that name. And so Ruth having that name, now when we think of the name Ruth, if you want to have a baby girl and name her Ruth, you're thinking of the attributes of this woman, that she was loyal to her mother-in-law. What was it about her? She had a question that she needed to answer, and you'll see the word over and over in the passage, the word return. I won't read them to you again. I tried to point those out as we read, but it occurs half a dozen times in these verses. Surely, they said in verse 10, we will return with thee unto thy people. One did, one didn't. There was no obligation for them to return. In fact, it would have made more sense for them to stay where they were, humanly speaking. Lost people that don't get saved, they see things wrong. They think it makes sense to stay where they are. Maybe they're comfortable in their sin. Maybe they're not thinking Christ can do anything for them. Maybe they don't want to give up what they've got. Folks, is it not true that God always gives you something better? You give something up, you get something better. Try it sometime. And God will ask you in your life to give up some of the most precious things, perhaps. Maybe a career. Maybe a house. Maybe living close to your family. God asks people to do those kind of things. He replaces them with something better, doesn't he? And then you haven't seen the end of the story either. We have things to look forward to even still. Both planned to return, but when you come down to verse 16, Ruth is the one that went back to Judah with Naomi. What made her different? I just want to show you three or four things here really quick. Won't be long at all. They're all down there in those last couple of verses that we read, beginning in verse 16. First of all, look what she says. In fact, I've got this highlighted in my text. It says, she says in verse 16, whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She was willing to leave the familiar, all that was familiar to her, her home, her land, her people, her idols, everything. She was willing to leave that to go with Naomi, and she knew she was going into something that was unknown. But somehow, I'll give her credit for this, she knows the Lord. She said, she names the Lord. She knew she was going to something better. When God asks you and I to serve Him, folks, that's going to something better. Try to be brief. Just came to my mind, though. My dad worked hard his whole life. He was faithful in church. He had us in church every Sunday. Did a lot of things for the Lord. But he worked hard all of his life. He was a welder for a long time. Worked at the potash mines in Carlsbad, New Mexico in the 1960s. Worked in the restaurant business in West Texas in the 1970s. Went back to Carlsbad in the late 70s and was a millwright. Worked all over New Mexico as a millwright welder in the 80s. Then he had to retire. He retired and he drove a van until he got Alzheimer's and couldn't work anymore. He worked hard his whole life. And I watched that and I understood what it meant to work hard by looking at my dad. I'm going to say it plainly today. Our teenagers don't understand what it means to work hard. Because what we have done is our children, and if you have children or if you're going to have children, I'll just tell you, if you think that you're doing your children a favor by giving them everything they need and by giving them everything they want and by letting them just take it easy all the time, you are mistaken. They've got to learn to work. They've got to learn. I was asking my algebra class today, what are you going to do this summer? This one student said, I'm going to swim. And I thought, okay, let me see. 12 weeks, no school, you're going to swim. This is not a really complex plan, is it? That's the best you've got to do. And I'm thinking through between the lines, okay, so your parents are providing everything you need. They're giving you a house. They're giving you clothes. They're giving you food. They're providing you with health care. They're cleaning up after you. They're probably doing your laundry. They're taking care of you so you can swim? Is that really what God has for you in your life this summer? I didn't say all of that, obviously. But folks, our young people need to have, they need to learn to work. They need to learn that their purpose in life is not to be recreating and taking it easy all the time. Because shock of shocks, when their parents are gone, hey, now all of a sudden who's going to provide for you? And the worst thing that can happen to a young person is never to learn that. How did I get on that rabbit trail? Anyway, here we are again. So Ruth said, you know what? I'm going to leave what's familiar. Oh, I know where I was going. Okay. So I watched my dad work hard, and I enjoyed working when I was younger. When God called me into the ministry, one of the hardest things I ever left was my career, and I still miss it. I still, Brother Mendez talks about the projects he's involved in. I think, oh, I used to do that kind of stuff. It was so great. You go in and there's this impossible problem and you solve it and everyone pats you on the back and they pay you a lot of money and then they give you another one and you solve that one. They pat you on the back and give you some more money. That was wonderful. That's not the ministry. But leaving whatever it was that you're familiar with and you loved and going to God is better. Because my dad welded a lot of metal and cooked a lot of hamburgers and sold a lot of Spanish food, Mexican food, and went and drove a lot of vans and so on. There's no eternal value in any of that. When you serve God, there's eternal value. We went out last night and spent, I don't know, we figure an hour over at Dan's house. That's got eternal value. Now, we didn't get paid a whole lot for that. In fact, we didn't get paid anything for it. We had to drive over there, we had to drive back, and we were tired, but that's okay. Serving God's better than serving anything else. Ruth is leaving every opportunity that she's got to marry a young man that speaks her language, to be around people that are like her, to be around a culture that she knows, and a familiar situation, and her family, and all the rest. And she left all that for something better. Amen? When you go God's direction, you go into something better. I got to finish. I'm out of time. She was willing to make a permanent commitment. Look at verse 17. Where thou diest, I will die, or will I die. And there will I be buried. That's pretty permanent. In other words, what she said was, Naomi, I'm going with you and I'm not going back. I just make the point real simple. Have you said that to the Lord? Amen? Lord, I'm going to follow you and I'm not going back. I've seen a lot of people go back. Maybe not as far back as they could have, but too far. The Lord says if you, anyone that puts his hand to the plow and then turns back is not fit for the kingdom of God in Luke. We need to make a permanent commitment. Amen? Lord, and sometimes God makes that easy. You know, God calls you into the ministry, for example, and you had a career, and you got to quit your job and sell your house and go somewhere else. That's pretty permanent. But you could always put out a resume and go back. It's not an option, is it? Amen? Now, I'm not saying we're all called into the ministry, but some of us may be. But what I'm saying is this. We need to decide to serve God and keep on serving Him. Amen? We need to make a commitment to Him. That's what made her different. She was willing to leave the familiar. She was willing to make a commitment. I'll give you a couple more real fast. Look at this. The Lord do so to me and more also if aught but death part thee and me. Look at that phrase. The Lord do so to me and more also. In other words, what she's saying is, I trust God with my life, with my welfare. Now, she's using that as a form of an oath. She's saying, if I don't go with you, then the Lord needs to do something to me. But she's also saying this, when I go with you, I'm trusting the Lord. Notice she's chosen the Lord as her reference point here. What do you trust to get you through this year, this week, this night? The Lord, amen? And that's exactly what she said. She said, I know that the Lord is the one that can do that. And he's the one that she chose to refer to. Her decision was steadfast. Look at verse 18. She saw, that's Naomi, saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, and she left speaking unto her. In other words, Naomi thought, yeah, she's made her mind up. Have we made our mind up? Amen? I think we have. I hope we have. Have you made your mind up to go with God wherever He takes you? To accept whatever He gives you? To trust Him for whatever you need? Amen? Aren't you glad Ruth didn't go back? What would have happened if Ruth would have gone back? You know, we talked about what would have happened if there would have been no Benjamin. First of all, I'll say this. God would have found another way. But it wouldn't have involved Ruth. When you and I decide to go back, God will find another way, but it won't involve us. Let's be faithful to God. Amen? That's what Ruth's all about. She's loyal in the face of all these uncertainties. And by the way, I'll finish with this thought. Naomi's track record wasn't that great. In other words, Ruth had seen what Naomi's life had been so far. And husbands died, son died, other daughter-in-law left. Naomi has nothing to offer that's obvious, except one thing. She's got a God. And I think that was the key factor in Ruth's decision. Ruth knew, she named it, that Naomi had a God. Naomi wasn't a very good testimony at this time, and Naomi's history was not that good, but Naomi had a God. We need to let people see that we have a God. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.